Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before we begin, let us go together to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words and to study them, Lord. We pray your blessing upon this study. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be our guide and teacher today. Father, we pray for the saint of God listening today, that they would be edified by this study, that they would be enlightened, that their knowledge of spiritual things would be increased. We pray that your study today would change our hearts and our minds to be more in tune with you. Father, we pray for this, for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they place their faith and their trust in the precious shed blood of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing else, to pay for all their sins and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We just ask that you would have your will and your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I get into our study today on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want to mention that I recently had a book published entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. And if you would like a copy of that book, please drop me a line at the address that will be given at the end of this broadcast. And I also want to mention that all of our studies on the Pastor's Study are available to you on audio cassette. And if you would like a copy of this study, of any study, again, drop me a line, mention the study by name, and I'll get it right out to you. All right, let's go right into our study then on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you were with me last time, we started to look at the two divisions of spiritual gifts. And we looked at the first division. We looked at the temporary spiritual gifts. Now, today we want to begin by looking at the permanent spiritual gifts. The permanent spiritual gifts. We refer to the remainder of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as permanent. And by that we mean that they're still valid for today. These gifts are never identified as signs to the Jews. And no indication is ever given that they will cease before Jesus returns for his church at the rapture. In fact, every indication is given that these permanent gifts are vital today for the effective ministry of any scriptural local church. These so-called permanent spiritual gifts would include the following: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. In other words, we'll compare that later on with teachers and teachers. The gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, also referred to prophesying. The gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of helps, also referred to as ministry, the gift of governments, also referred to as ruling, the gift of exhorting, the gift of giving, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of evangelists, and the gifts or the gift of pastors and teachers. Now we want to look at the permanent spiritual gifts explained by the Holy Spirit. Now what I'm going to attempt to do will provide a brief explanation from Scripture of each of the just mentioned permanent spiritual gifts. Now remember, these studies on the pastor studies are not to take the place of your individual study in the Word of God, because you as a believer are instructed to study. That's an individual command to the believer, to study, to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, I encourage you, after our study, to go and study these things on your own. Amen? Now, an important point to remember when studying the gifts of the Spirit is the principle of specialization. Most of these gifts are found in Scripture as commands to all believers in Jesus Christ. The difference, however, between the command and the gift is that the gift is a supernatural talent given by the Holy Spirit to only certain members in a local church. They are specialists. Virtually all doctors are broadly trained in all matters of anatomy and physiology. However, most doctors also specialize in a particular field of medicine, as it would be impossible to be a genuine expert in all areas of the human body. Likewise, all believers are commanded to do such things as having faith and giving to God. But the spiritual gifts of faith and giving are specialist abilities and talents given by the Spirit, so that individual believers can specifically minister to the entire spiritual body in their area of speciality. These gifts are not in the natural abilities of our flesh, taken to an extreme or sharpened with practice, but a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God. They are not supernatural in the sense of visibly miraculous, but in the sense of a person accomplishing a task beyond their natural abilities. Now let's look at the first one of the permanent gifts, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Paul begins his list of spiritual gifts to the Corinthian believers by saying, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. In most charismatic circles, it is presumed that the word of wisdom is a spiritual utterance given by the Spirit to supernaturally disclose the mind of God in a particular situation. God supposedly imparts to a man or woman some revelation or wisdom from heaven that should then be communicated. Now, there are two major problems with this interpretation. First of all, it is an assumption that has absolutely no scriptural grounds. The word of wisdom is mentioned in only 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And the context indicates no support for this private interpretation. And second of all, this interpretation compromises the authority of the Word of God. In a previous study, we firmly established that Scripture is our final authority, and nothing should be added to the Word of God. This view of the Word of Wisdom results in further revelations supposedly coming from God in addition to the Scriptures. If someone claims to have such a supernatural revelation of wisdom from God for you, it would carry the weight of Scripture and immediately violate the passages to command us not to add to the words of God. Amen? Now, as we look at the Word of Wisdom, the Word of Wisdom is listed first in this all-important text on the spiritual gifts. Appearing at the top of such a list is a probable indication of it being the most important gift. Paul is clearly trying to de-emphasize the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 by placing it essentially at the end of the list twice. Now note how Paul uses words such as first, secondarily, third, after that, and then to show order and importance in 1 Corinthians 12, if you'll turn with me. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, we read the following. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Second of all, as we look at the Word of Wisdom, the gift of the Word of Wisdom, human wisdom was a problem among the Greeks in Corinth, and Paul often stressed the need for the godly wisdom that could only be found in Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians together, chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 22, 24, and 30. We read the following. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, we read, in whom, referring to Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, we're looking at the gift of the Word of Wisdom. The third thing we want to see is this wisdom was first hidden, then revealed by the Holy Spirit, and is now connected with salvation in the written Word of God. Let's look at some verses together. We want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 10 together. And we read the following. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again in verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13, and we read the following. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The fourth thing we want to see as we look at the gift of the word of wisdom is, the word of wisdom appears to be the gift of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to others from the word of God. Soul winning is clearly a responsibility of all believers. But undoubtedly, there are some believers who are more gifted at winning souls to Jesus Christ than others. There is a little doubt that the greatest word of wisdom anyone could ever communicate to another soul is the gospel of Christ. Soul winning would definitely rank as the most important priority of the local church, and thus would match its placement at the top of the list of gifts. If the two lists of gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 were intended to roughly parallel one another, then the word of wisdom would parallel the apostles. Again, there is little debate that one of their main tasks was to win people to Jesus Christ. And this was specifically accomplished by proving to people from the scriptures that Jesus was the promised Christ. Soul winning is a task that can never be achieved by human talent, but is an operation of the Holy Spirit of God, no matter how it is viewed. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 reminds us, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So we've just looked, again, with looking at the permanent spiritual gifts explained by the Holy Spirit. The first one we just looked at is the gift of the word of wisdom. And we saw four things. We looked at four things. The first thing we saw is the word of wisdom is listed first in this all-important text on the spiritual gifts. The second thing we saw, human wisdom was a problem among the Greeks in Corinth, and Paul often stressed the need for the godly wisdom that could only be found in Christ. The third thing we saw was this wisdom was first hidden, then revealed by the Holy Spirit, and is now connected with salvation in the written word of God. And then the fourth thing we looked at, the word of wisdom appears to be the gift of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to others from the word of God. Now we want to look at the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge. In the standard charismatic explanation of this gift, the word of knowledge is a supposed supernatural revelation from God of information pertaining to a person or event that has been revealed for a specific purpose. In the standard operation of this gift, A speaker will claim to have been given specific information from the Holy Spirit about someone in an audience before him. All too often, however, that revelation is so ambiguous that it could apply to any number of people present. Even more troubling, such words of knowledge all too often turn out not to be true. Now, the problems with this charismatic interpretation are similar to those that we saw about the word of wisdom. First of all, no scriptural support can be offered. Second, the result is extra-biblical revelation that undermines the authority of the written Word of God. Thirdly, in actual practice, this unbiblical form of the Word of knowledge ends up being more often than not inaccurate. Now, from the biblical viewpoint, if the gift of the word of wisdom was communicating wisdom, then the word of knowledge would obviously be the gift of speaking or communicating knowledge. The ability to speak or to communicate knowledge is usually called teaching. Now let's look at some things about the word of knowledge. First thing we want to look at is the word of knowledge is listed second in this important text on the gifts. If the word of wisdom is the most important of the spiritual gifts, then the word of knowledge would be the second most important gifts. Other scriptures clearly reveal that the most important task of the church is to win souls. The second most important task of the church is indeed to teach the believers to love God and obey Him. We read in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, the following. We're commanded to go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 15 and verse 35, we read the following. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And then we read in the final chapter of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God, talking about Paul, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Then the second thing as we look at the gift of the word of knowledge is that every believer in the local church is to teach one another. Let's look at some verses of scripture. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we read the following. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then let's look at Titus. Titus chapter 2 with me. Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. The aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers. See? Teachers, it says, of good things. That they may, what? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Teach. Amen. Then look with me in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, we read this. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, the third thing that we want to look at concerning, as we're looking at the spiritual gift of the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge, excuse me, although every believer in the local church is to teach one another, not every believer has the gift of teaching. Now, the ability to teach the word of God is called a spiritual gift in Romans chapter 12, verse 7. The teacher himself is called a gift in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Although all Christians are supposed to teach, only some have the Spirit-given gift of teaching. Let's look at some verses of Scripture together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29, we read, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles?" And of course the answer is no, not everyone has those gifts. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we read, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, we read the following, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." As we look at the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, the fourth thing we want to look at is the word of knowledge then appears to be the Spirit-given ability to teach other believers the word of God. Now, if you compare the two lists of gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the word of knowledge is the first list. The word of knowledge in the first list would roughly parallel the prophets and the teachers in the second list. The first three gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 to 30, are apostles, prophets, and teachers. The first two of these would definitely have needed the gift of the word of wisdom to share Christ with the lost, while all three would have needed the word of knowledge. One last point to be made in support for the word of knowledge being a reference to the gift of teaching involves a comparison of all four lists. The word teaching or teachers appears in all of the lists except this one, which instead contains the term the word of knowledge. So, we've looked at the spiritual gift, the permanent gift of the word of knowledge. We'll continue our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit next time. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.